So on February 27th, 1919, there was an owl sitting on the trunk of a Canyon live oak.
Really?
Out in California, yes. And I know that because Donald Dickey wrote this field note about seeing a northern spotted owl outside of Los Angeles back on February 27th, 1919. It was part of an extraordinary program that consists now of a database of 6 million note cards currently sitting in Maryland at the United States Geological Survey's Patuxent Wildlife Research Center. The note cards are part of an old way of collecting data, but is scientifically valid still as a database because it charts through time the behavior of species of birds all over North America. And Jessica Zelt, coordinator of the U.S. Geological Survey North American Bird Phenology Program, joins us now from Washington. Jessica, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me on today.
This is a great database that's now just being digitized, although it is really the result of painstaking observations of many, many people over a long period of time. Give us a sense of some of the note cards that are in this database at Patuxent.
Yeah, well, we have, like you said, 6 million of these cards,
wow.
And they come in a lot of different forms, but most have the same information. They record the species name, the observer who made the observation, and the location in which the observation was made. And then they have these dates, the first seen when the bird first came to the area, when they became common, when they were last seen, and whether or not they were breeding or wintering in that area.
Now, of course, the people who made the observations back in 1919 had no computers or no way to analyze the information other than in their own memory. What is the scientific resource here as these note cards are digitized?
Well, you're right. At the height of the program, there were about 3,000 participants that were famous ornithologists, naturalists, and just citizen scientists who were sending these cards into the program. And at that time, they were just being these were on 2x5 cards that all the information was recorded. And the information was put into these file cabinets. Information, publications on distribution and migration were put out on the using the cards. But other than that, these cards were really they hadn't been used as much as, you know, as now we're seeing their value.
Well, the last director of the Bird Migration Program, a fellow by the name of Chandler Robbins, spoke with us this week and really described what was important about the program that he ran for quite a long time. And Chandler Robbins is no spring chicken anymore, but he expresses an enormous amount of reverence for all of those note cards out there in Patuxent.
Well, they were important because it was a historic record of the changes in bird populations, where birds occurred, when they occurred. There's no other permanent record of that magnitude for any group of birds in North America, and here we were tracking all of the North American species.
So, Jessica Zelt, do computers and the ability to maybe pie chart, analyze, visualize huge amounts of information like this give scientists an advantage, a way of seeing information that maybe wouldn't be evident just simply looking at note cards one at a time?
Absolutely. I mean, right now, the cards just being file cabinets, they're not being used, and we need to get them into this usable form. So what we're doing, what the program does, is we have revived this program just about a year ago, and we're in the process of digitizing the cards, as you said. We're scanning the cards in the office, and then we are relying on participants from around the country and around the world, really. Anyone with internet access can go onto the website, and they pull up these cards, and they can transcribe the card into our database so that it then becomes usables for scientists to analyze.
And, you know, let's not forget that, the theory of plate tectonics was developed in part when scientists were able to step back and see the Earth at a distance. And the ability to visualize information in new ways can actually produce new science. What sorts of maps can you create with this information that tracks, say, climate change and species migration?
Well, we're looking... I think that these this information can really provide critical information on bird distribution, bird migration timing, and also migratory pathways and how they're changing over time, along with when we compare this to climate data, how bird arrival and departure dates are shifting as a result of climate change.
You know, why did the USGS stop this program back in the 70s?
That's a good question. When they were first starting the program, they were really looking at spring migration, and by 1970, they had a good amount of knowledge about what was happening with birds, when where they were migrating to, what their ranges were. And they were starting other programs at that point. They also had, there was a similar program going on with Audubon, where people were sending in similar records, and they thought that it would be best to have Audubon take on this a similar program, and for Patuxent to focus on other things.
Well, you know, it's not unprecedented for enormous database compilations to be the result of, you know, small foot soldiers around the world. The Oxford mm-hmm. English Dictionary, you know, many of its definitions are the result of volunteers coming up with a definition, sending them in, being edited. What's a typical volunteer like who wrote one of these note cards, say, 20, 30 years ago?
Right. Well, we have there's a lot large variation. I mean, we have a lot of really famous scientists like C. Hart Merriam and Vernon Bailey and H. C. Oberhauser, who were going around the country and recording this information, sending it in. But we also have a lot of citizen scientists who were just recording their backyard birds or the birds that they saw around their community and sending it in.
Jessica, I'm just looking at a picture of you going through a filing cabinet, filing away.
Yeah.
What is it what card is it, or what set of cards would you look at that actually got you excited? Because it looks like you're just filing in your librarian. So why would people want to volunteer? What is it that really would get them turned on?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we're holding 100 years of worth of birding history in our office, and we're just unlocking it now. These cards haven't been used for almost 40 years now, so we're just kind of unlocking the vault and getting all this information out there. And I think it's really amazing that when people go online and they can transcribe these cards, it links the participants with a part of birding history, which is really unique.
Well, we're linked to your site on our website. You can go to the USGS site and actually see facsimiles, digitized, scanned-in facsimiles of the cards themselves in the handwriting of the birders who provided this information on a volunteer basis to the U.S. government. Jessica Zell, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
A century of birding history there in those file cabinets. Jessica Zelt is coordinator of the U.S. Geological Survey North American Bird Phenology Program.
So President Obama has invented a new kind of diplomacy.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.